This is Dr. Adam Goldstein with Behind the Scenes. Christy and I are talking with Dr. Gary Zarkin, Head of Behavioral Health and Criminal Justice at RTI International, about the economics of substance use and abuse. And Dr. Zarkin, you're doing work that really is trying to define the cost and the benefits of substance abuse and treatment and criminal justice across a large variety of different situations, and domestically, internationally. What is one of the greatest challenges that you face in your work, besides getting funding?
Well, getting funding is challenging. I think one of the greatest challenges that we have, and I alluded to it a little earlier in our discussion, is I think a lot of substance abuse interventions are cost beneficial. But yet, if you look at the way it's described in the public policy sphere, people will often say it doesn't make sense to give drug abusers treatment because, after all, many of them fail. And we fully recognize that many people fail from treatment. But even with that failure, it is cost beneficial to provide treatment to people. And building on some of the earlier discussion on giving better treatment to prisoners, it's cost beneficial to give prisoners better treatment. And it will actually reduce subsequent crime when they get released. So all of us gain from that. And so I think one of the challenges that I feel as an economist providing input to policymakers is that I believe in general, I think there's a sense in which substance abuse is viewed as sort of a disease that really we're not really sure we understand. It's not viewed as a disease when in fact it really is a disease. It's been viewed now for the last 10 to 20 years as a brain disease. And it's not just a choice. And I think people and policymakers in particular are maybe affected by the fact that maybe people are choosing substance abuse and they're choosing to be addicted in some way. And they're getting what they deserved.
The other element, too, is the element of the taboo nature. You alluded earlier to how common alcohol abuse is in our country, even among probably some policymakers and, you know, people, professionals who are able to function a little bit but are also abusing these things. And I wonder how much denial or wanting to put that off on the people who are below us or something, that element of shame or denial plays into the complexity of that.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think, again, because for many years, substance abuse and mental health were always treated very differently in the healthcare setting. They did not have parity, even though, again, we have official parity now. I still don't think we see it. But it was always given when you have a certain number of visits, for example, if you have a substance abuse or mental health problem, whereas you get unlimited visits if you, for example, on a diabetes thing. So it's always been sidetracked to a different kind of track, right? Mm-hmm. And so there must be something about that. Or it's given a different managed care fund. You know, there's managed care for medical surgical, but they have a special behavioral health medical care. Managed care. And it's like, well, why is that? And they really should be all integrated. And we do not have the quality of view that it's really a disease for both substance abuse or mental health, that there's something that's different about it. There's a taboo nature about it, I agree. And it's really unfortunate.
Well, and kind of, I guess, my last question that I have is this idea of providing economic cost benefit, cost sensitivity, however you want to describe the economic studies in substance abuse compared to those types of same studies for things like treating high blood pressure, doing a liver transplant. I know we look at the economics of those, but do we think about those separately? Are we treating the entire medical realm different than the mental health and substance use realm?
Well, I don't know how to answer that on some level. I mean, I think as you point out, in the medical surgical side, we look at economics, and economics drives a lot of it. The hope would be, from my perspective, is that even though it may be taboo or you may think that there's a moral component to this, my hope would be that the economic side of things would actually have a stronger voice on the mental health substance abuse side. And I don't know if it really has had that stronger voice yet. You see a lot of the voice on the medical surgical side as people figure out what drugs should be added to a formulary, whether we should try a new marginal intervention that is very expensive. You see that very much that people use the economics there. Again, my frustration back to almost to your initial question is we're showing that this thing is cost beneficial to do lots of interventions to help people with mental health and substance abuse problems, but yet I don't think we're doing enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for what you're doing.
Yes.
We've been talking with Dr. Gary Zarkin from RTI International. Thank you for joining us with Behind the Scenes.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.